Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Hello and welcome to the WTF1 podcast. I am your host, James Coker, coming to you live, not live, coming to you recorded in my garage in Los Angeles, California. With me, as usual, coming from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Boop, 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 boop.
Blah, 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 blah. Ash Vandelay.
In my basement, not a garage. But it's my basement, not my mother's, and that's what's important.
Yeah, it's yours.
That's important. It's mine.
That's what distinguishes you.
Well, it's my landlord's, but still.
Hey, it's still yours. You still have you still have autonomy over your basement, and that's what's important.
Man. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Better. Better. I got to go to NBA All-Star Weekend last week for work in San Francisco. And got to go to the Saturday night skills competition and slam dunk contest, which was super fun. Mm-hmm. Mac McClung, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's like a two-way player that goes back and forth between the G League and the NBA. Dunked over a Kia.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
And you're like, why are we talking about this on the WTF1 podcast? I'm like, he dunked over a car, so it's kind of racing related.
Should have been an F1 car.
It should have been an F1 car. That would have been cool. But how was your weekend?
Good. I was like, what did I do? Went outside, touched some grass, surprisingly, and watched Daytona 500.
Did you do a watch along for the Daytona 500?
I did.
How was it?
It was okay. It was annoying because it was rain delayed. So I turned it off, and then we had 3 hours. So I went on the Peloton. I did other things, and then we came back, and it was just long. So it just took up a lot of the day in my mental capacity, but it was fine.
Yeah, I remember I had just put my kid to bed. And I opened up my phone and I'm like, oh, the Daytona 500 is still going on. It was like 8 o'clock at night in LA. And so I watched like the last two laps or whatever.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
You got thoughts.
We will be talking about the Daytona 500 in an episode later this week. But first, in this episode, we are going to be talking all about the F175 event at the O2 Arena, the first event of its kind where every team did their livery reveal in one giant event on one stage. You could call it a catwalk. It was giving Quarter Quell from the Hunger Games. It was giving Victoria's Secret fashion show. There was the reaction was a mixed bag. Some people loved it, some people hated it, but I just want to get into it right now. Ash, what were your impressions of the F175 live event?
I think because I'm so into this world, it's hard for me to form just a simple opinion of yeah, it was fine. There's pros and cons and things I feel like I have to be oh, it was fine because of this, but con because of that. Yeah, I understood the purpose of it. And I thought overall it was fun, whatever. I mean, there's some things you should button up and tighten up and all this other things. But overall, yeah. Hakuna Matata, opening day. Loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was super fun. I want to give a shout out to Emily Prazer, Chief Commercial Officer of Formula One. This is her brainchild. And I thought it was a really fun event. I don't know if it is an event that they will do every year. Maybe it'll be every 25 years. Maybe it'd be a Quarter Quell Hunger Games situation. Who knows? But I really, really enjoyed it. I thought Jack Whitehall, who I'm not super familiar with, maybe it's because I'm a little older, but
We're American.
Oh, because we're American.
Because we're American. We don't know who that was.
I thought he did a great job. I thought he was very funny. I thought his jokes, either his team seemed to be relatively knowledgeable about the world of Formula One. The jokes seemed to be catered to the fans, which I appreciated. The musical performances, I feel like, were a mixed bag. But I thought Jack Whitehall did a great job keeping the show moving.
Look, we're going to start with a lot of people had very opposing, just like extreme ambivalence on the internet, which is, I guess it's the internet classic. Some people, again, like the event, like we said, someone I saw called it corporate slop. Someone else called it painfully dated and cringe. Some people were complaining that it was not about motorsport and they absolutely hated it. And then some people were like, yeah, this was fine. I enjoyed it. I thought he was okay. I'm not sure why he was there, though, because they had, like, multiple hosts. They had the F1 TV host. Sure. And I feel like they could have done an opening bid or something a little bit more, whatever. Yeah, the jokes were fine. What?
You think Lawrence Barreto had the chops to crack jokes?
Yeah. With those boots? Absolutely. He just had to click his heels three times. He would have been in Kansas. Like, it was...
He looks like a villain from Austin Powers or something with that outfit.
I liked the turtleneck. I thought it was cool.
I will say, I like Lawrence Barreto a lot. And I respect that he makes very bold fashion decisions.
Agreed. Everyone looked great. I just didn't understand the point of Jack there. If we had other hosts, and then Martin Brundle was there, and like each team had their own hosts. Like Martin Brundle like helped with the McLaren thing, and I was like, what are we doing? Like, did we all just pick names out of a hat? Like, what are we doing here? yeah, he had his jokes. I wouldn't say they were F1. I guess they were like generic F1 meme fan jokes, I would say. Like, haha, Max H. George, when they're probably just over it by now because they don't care. Like, it's just, it was racing. They're over it. It's been a couple months. Like, we don't need to bring it up. I found it interesting that back and forth on this, right? Like, harping on Charles Leclerc's looks instead of like something else. At least he mentioned that he won Monaco and other races. It was fine. I got some chuckles out of it. And I agree that all the liveries look the same. And I'm surprised some of the jokes that he was allowed to say.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like some felt like digs. And I loved your thread post and your Twitter post about the Statler and Waldorf table about all the older F1 like legends and former champions who just didn't seem amused by like any of the jokes.
Any of the jokes, any of the musical performances, anything that was happening. It was just a table full of old white dudes just like with their mouth agape a little bit, just staring off at the universe. David Coulthard looked like he had anywhere else to be. It was so funny.
Jackie Stewart looked very confused.
Where are we?
He's what like, do this? I really have to be here? I'm a three-time champion. Like,
yeah, they didn't like honor the previous champions. I mean, yeah. I guess they showed some of them in the videos, depending what team they were on. And like, I get it, but like, we never really. It'd be cool if they kind of hosted each thing. Be like, oh, now McLaren. I don't know. Like, incorporate them more in 75 years, and maybe they will. Right? This was just the kickoff, but it was very interesting. The music. I have so many thoughts, let alone on just the music.
It was just a very weird ensemble of music. I felt like the musical tastes were all over the place. I've never been a big MGK fan, formerly known as Machine Gun Kelly. He's just kind of a cultural blind spot to me. Like, I thought for years he was a rapper.
Oh, you don't know about this?
What?
Oh, he beefed with Eminem so hard and Eminem shit on him so hard that he had to switch genres. To pop punk. Yeah.
No. Oh my God.
That's why I thought it was so funny. I'm like, yeah, here he is with his little razor blade guitar playing pop music because he can't rap anymore because Eminem was like.
And instead of saying, I don't give a fuck, he said, I don't give an F1, which I thought was.
Yeah, the puns in that video, like he, like adding F1 to certain things. Yeah, it was an interesting opening. I guess it was like high energy. Like, it was just like, okay, I'm not in this musical thing. Interesting choice. Like, I thought Brian Tyler would have opened it, maybe. Not what he did currently, but, like, in general. Like, if he did, like, a remix of the F1 theme or, like, played the old F1 themes or, like, the ones that used to be on TV. If you go on YouTube, I think we talked about this before. Right. And, like, you played it now to the current F1 theme, that would have been a sick opening.
I agree. I think what was missing with the Brian Tyler performance, like, I know he opened the Alpine livery reveal. Yes, exactly.
I was like, who is this guy?
I think we need more context. Like, We Are Dreaming, I assume, is his like DJ name. And I think we needed some context. I think he needed to first like perform some sort of DJ set version of the F1 theme before going into this new album that he was trying to play for us in the Alpine livery reveal. I think we were just all very confused.
Can I read this for you? Brian Tyler's Are We Dreaming is a completely immersive audio-visual experience that explores the universe, our place in it, through exhilarating and moving music and powerful imagery.
AKA, he's a DJ. that plays Ibiza.
Yeah. We also had Kane Brown, country music artist. And I love that the target audience for this was definitely Big Truck, Big Lift, which is the first two lines of his song. And I was like, did everyone run to their local Milton Keynes Ford dealer and just get an F-150 after this? Like, what was the point of him being there?
I like Kane Brown. I feel like everybody in the O2 arena like was confused. I'm like, I don't know if people in the UK listen to like pop country music the way.
And he is like pop country. I felt so bad for him because some other performers had more audiovisual things going on stage. At least like MGK had like fire and sparks and his background band. Like he had something going on. Kane Brown was just him, just like moping around on stage. I was like, this is so awkward. No one knows what you're doing here. It's like you just wandered up on stage and you're like, yeah, let me sing this song.
Yeah. And then we had Take That, which of course is like the UK's version of New Kids on the Block. And I feel like, you know, someone who works in Formula One who's like maybe my age or a little older just wanted to see Take That live and wanted to do it on the company's dime. And I think that's why they were there. But missed opportunity to call them Break That, which would have been a fun play on words.
Aston Martin had Thames as well, a Nigerian singer. That was beautiful. Like that I liked with the car launch. Like they had the live orchestra on stage. They had that car. The dress looked great. Like she was singing great. And I was like, I like this. I didn't just like Kane Brown or We Are Dreaming on stage, like by themselves.
I agree.
Doing whatever.
I thought Thames' performance was great. I thought the Aston Martin's approach was very original, but I want to go team by team now.
Let's do it.
And we're gonna rate each livery reveal on a scale of 1 to 10. Starting with, first off, we have to go some other moments that we missed before we go into the livery reveals. Apparently, Lewis and Charles were playing online chess on their phones while the presentation was going on.
Yeah,
that's how bored they were. Also, when Jack Whitehall said George Russell's name, he raised his hand as if Jack Whitehall was taking attendance, which I thought was very funny. It was like classic George Russell move.
Here, present.
For the most part, it was a very positive crowd with the exception of two people/entities. When the FIA was mentioned, loud boos. It was like
the best being part about that was the FIA being mentioned. They booed. And then Pirelli being mentioned right after it, everyone was like, yeah. And I was like, what is this? I guess we're just making our allegiance known that we hate the FIA, but we love Pirelli. It's like, this is great.
And Laura Winter did a very good job sort of pushing through the boos and like staying on message. But, you know, like, I think that almost totally took her out of it, but she's a professional.
Yeah.
FIA was booed. Christian Horner also was booed. It was like being at like WWE Monday Night Raw, and I loved it. But before we sort of expand on any of that, we want to go each livery reveal. We're going to rate it 1 through 10, starting, and we, and of course, the order was reverse championship order, starting with Stake F1 Team, where they had a drumline situation. What were your thoughts on Stake F1 Team's presentation?
The whole thing felt like I was in a beginning ride of Universal Studios. It was just like the intro when you're sitting there and they're like, doo-doo, hustle harder, doo-doo. And by the way, the drum line wasn't actually like the real drum line. It was just like the music and they were pretending to drum to it.
Yeah, it was like a Blue Man Group situation.
Yeah, but like not as well coordinated or fun. With the tagline of hustle harder, I did like the green. I mean, they were the first ones. I'm trying to judge what I think is a 10 out of 10 and kind of go backwards from there.
Yeah.
Looking at the other ones, like a 6 out of 10, to be honest with you. It was fine.
I was going to say 5 or 6. So, yeah. I have to agree with you. But how do you have a drum line without Nick Cannon? That's what I want to know.
Again, I'm surprised with all the celebrities that like F1 invites to the paddock and things like that. We couldn't get literally anybody else to perform or be there for our presentations. Like, I feel like there's a lot of car people we could have maybe tapped into a little bit better in general. But
I think what happens often is organizations like F1 and also brands are in bed with a lot of talent agencies. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised. Let's say like they have a relationship with, I don't know, CAA. And CAA probably has a roster of like music clients where it's like, we're really trying to get this person, and this person work right now. So these are the people we're going to push towards you. And to maintain a good relationship, maybe F1's like, yeah, okay, that works.
Sure, whatever. Kuna Matata. But yeah, over it, it's fine. I do like that everyone had like a tagline. So theirs was hustle harder.
Hustle harder. I love it. That I feel like that's very like early 2010s, like rise and grind hustle culture. But let's see if they can hustle any points this year. Moving on. Next up, we had Williams, I believe, was the next.
Yes.
Yeah, was the next team. I was very impressed just by the James Vowles body language when he walked out on stage. I don't think I've ever seen him with that much swagger and that much confidence. Because he's like, seems like a nice guy, seems like a pretty humble guy, but he like owned that stage and I was very impressed.
Yeah, he did a great job speaking, and I think you mentioning that. What I realized once we got to Williams is that there was a just disjointed, like everyone got a different brief.
Yes.
For the teams. Because their video with Frank, first of all, I started tearing up because I was like, this is so sweet. I mean, obviously it's Williams, but I was just like, this is, we're really bringing that back. And he had Claire's voice in there. And I was just like, oh my gosh, right. This is nostalgic. Great video. And then James just walked out without his drivers. And I was like, what are we doing here? And then they walked out after he like said some words. And I was like, oh, this is what we're doing. Like, I thought everyone was supposed to do like a video, like a thing. Then we all walked out together with the car, but everyone was able to do different stuff. And I was like, we're going to see difference of quality immediately. And I would say an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. I think if they ever did this again, maybe they all have a better idea of like what works and what doesn't. And we'll have some sense of cohesion when it comes to the presentations between all the teams. Like maybe it's something they do every 5 years. I don't know. But there also was like a fun QR code. Do you think anybody scanned the QR code that was up on screen when they were in the O2 arena?
I didn't realize that was a thing till after on Twitter when everyone was making fun of it. I have no idea what that QR code even was.
Yeah. But I agree. I thought the Williams video was really good. Some of the other teams seemed to like just use like AI slop to make their intro videos.
Are we sure about that? Like, do we know that for a fact? No, everyone's like AI, and I was like, how do you know this?
I don't know that. I said seems, but
allegedly.
I feel like Aston Martin's, part of Aston Martin's video looked like it was generated in Midjourney, but I could be wrong. And of course, I'm like insulting whoever animated it. Then VCarb had a bit with a comedian whose name I cannot recall. And it was like a man on the street bit. And the whole bit was that nobody knows VCarb's name, which of course this year they made abundantly clear is Visa Cash App Racing Bulls. Oh, wait, we forgot to rate Williams 1 to 10. I'd give it an 8. Okay. I'll give it like a 7.5. So I think we're aligned there. So then back to VCarb. It was like a man on the street bit, which probably would have done like, you know, it probably would have gotten like 10,000 likes on TikTok. Like it was an okay video.
It was fun.
It was fun, and they made it very clear, this is what our name is, and then they came out. But I will say, what I loved about VCarb's presentation was the car.
Mm-hmm.
I dug it. I like the very white forward livery.
Yeah, I like the white forward. I like the little bulls that like on the side sprinkled in. Some people didn't like that. I personally did like it. I did like the video, the English comedian. I forget his name and I apologize. Also not popular in the States, nor did I know who he was. But I thought he was really funny and I thought he had a great stage presence. I was like, this guy should have been the host because this is, he just like had so much swag. I just loved it.
He has a really big following. So I imagine he's probably used to playing larger venues. So that's probably why he was so comfortable.
He was great. But this is also when I also then realized that everyone, again, had different briefs and everyone can have different hosts. And I was like, wait, what's the point of Jack and the F1 TV presenters if now they have, if VCarb has their own host coming in to talk? And this is also where I realized I think every team is supposed to have 6 minutes. And for some reason, it felt that some teams were longer than others when I think it just depends how good their presentation was.
They were getting the light from the booth, but they were just ignoring it. But I would say VCarb's presentation, I'd give it a 7.
Yeah. Hard 7, soft 8-ish. I also enjoyed that English comedian really just did it for them because he was funny in the video.
Yeah.
And just him, his presence on stage was so fun, and I appreciated the livery. Oh yeah, the CEO said something interesting about like entertainment and concerts.
Peter Bear.
I don't know if anyone. He said something about like we're bringing entertainment and value, whether you're an artist or whatever. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like I wasn't sure what they're promoting or saying.
I think he was trying to make the mark and make the statement that VCarb wants to be at the intersection of like sports, like music, art. And they want to be the team that like is embraced by like creative communities. I think that's what he was going for.
But how, why? How did this come in? Like what?
That's a great question.
Is Visa doing that? Is cash? Like what do we, what?
That's a great question. Maybe he is.
And we just presented it poorly. Oh, well.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd say I give it a 7. You gave it a what?
I'd say 7 or 8.
7 or 8. And then we had Alpine's presentation, which I think confused a lot of people because you had the performance by Brian Tyler, who wrote the F1 theme, performing in his as his like DJ act, which is We Are Dreaming. But I think a lot of people didn't connect the dots and realize he was the person who composed the F1 theme. So everyone was like, why is this guy who like looks like he's in his 50s but has a haircut of someone who's 14? Why is he spinning turntables on this stage? We have no idea who he is. Like, are we setting a theme? Like, is the livery going to come out with a big blonde wig on? Are Jack and Pierre going to have matching wigs? Is that the theme of the show? Is like floppy blonde wigs? But then finally the car came out. I thought the car looked pretty good.
Yeah, I like that it was more pink. I feel like it's slowly moving towards all pink, and like every year, just a little bit more pink. But yeah, no, yeah. I like the car. This I had to give probably less than the Sauber, which is, I'll give him a 5 out of 10 on the Alpine one.
I'll give him a 5 too. Like I think it also could be possible that F1 was like, okay, one of you teams needs to let Brian Tyler do his DJ set for your presentation. Who's going to be it? And maybe like Alpine drew the short straw.
Someone in my Twitch chat said the intro was double digits minutes longer than Alpine's scoring points this year. Ooh. I thought that was really funny.
That's fine. Yeah. So I'd say like, yeah, I'd say I give Alpine's livery reveal 5.
Yeah.
5 out of 10.
Way too long. I was like, there's no way this is 6 minutes. I was like, we've been here for 6 minutes listening to this DJ.
Yeah.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Next up, we had Haas F1 team, who claims to be the only American team on the grid. Not for long. Let's wait for Cadillac to come along. Also, like, I feel like even though Haas claims to be an American team, I don't feel like they've ever really successfully made that a part of their identity. Mm-hmm. But most of the presentation was a black and white video that had like a little bit of red in it of Kane Brown talking to camera about why Haas is the gritty, tough American team on the F1 grid. And I'm like, why? What's so American about this team? Is it because their owner went to jail for tax evasion?
Because he owns a NASCAR team. So Gene Haas.
Aren't he and Tony Stewart like splitting up though? I thought Gene Haas
but he still has
away.
still has a charter.
Oh, okay. Got it.
We got a car. How dare you?
I also thought it was weird that they highlighted Romain Grosjean's like death-defying crash in the highlight reel. Like that's one of their biggest moments.
this is the best we've got.
During their 8 years on the 8+ years on the grid was when one of their drivers almost died and the car caught fire.
I think they're doing like the NASCAR style of like crashes are cool. We're entertaining you. Be like, because he didn't die. This is cool. And even Romain Grosjean, his email signature is the Phoenix. And like that's his whole branding is a Phoenix.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, we'll play into that. What I didn't like about the video is Kane Brown at one point said something about shaking up the establishment. I was like, first of you, none of you motherfuckers are shaking up anything in this goddamn capitalist industry. One. Two, definitely not Haas. What are you talking about? What are we shaking up through CNC tooling machines and whatever Toyota gazooing you're trying to do? If anything, Toyota is saving your butt, and we should have maybe highlighted them a little bit more, but alas. Yeah.
My reply to that whole Haas presentation was the Shibu Inu that's wearing the cowboy hat that says, "What in tarnation?"
I like the polar bear in Arlington, Texas. It's like the kind of vibes that Haas gives me. Like, we're trying to be American, but like, what's a polar bear doing here?
Yeah. So I'd give the Haas presentation a 5 as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. For sure.
Next up, we had Aston Martin. They seem to have like a weird intro that was made by AI, but you think maybe someone actually, an actual real life
human
made it.
Yeah. I just saw a lot of people claiming AI, and I just didn't see any people just said it and didn't give me like, oh, this was wrong or this clearly is AI. I just didn't see this. This is also on me. Like, I didn't go any further. Like, no one said anything. They also didn't claim it was made by AI. Usually they do if it's a partner thing.
Right.
So people were just like wildly saying that about all the teams. Someone said all the teams use AI, and I was like, I don't know. Did they?
Yeah.
Is that confirmed?
There was the moment up top where Aston Martin, where it showed Fernando and Lance, and they came out in their suit, like actual suits, not race suits. And they had the helmet on and they took it off and the Bond theme was playing. I feel like that was a pre-recorded thing because there's no way they would have been able to be there and then make it back to the stage in their race suits for the actual livery presentation. But I'm going to say, just as a whole, broad strokes, Aston Martin had the most original presentation out of any of the teams. Like, most of the teams were like, let's put an intro video and hype music, but they had Timms come out, who's an incredibly talented singer. They had like an orchestra up there. The one thing that confused me is like, I felt like the song was like very like sultry and like seductive, and I'm like, I was a little confused. I was like, does Aston Martin want me to fuck this car?
Oh no.
But I thought it was great. I thought it was like, I thought it was the most original. I thought it was the most artistic presentation out of all of them. So like, I'm going to give it a 9.
Oh, a 9. That's pretty high.
It's pretty high.
Williams an 8 out of 10. I'd give them an 8 out of 10
because of how original it was.
That's fair. I like that. I thought the intro was pretty campy with like the James Bond thing, like the agents 00, whatever their 14, the car numbers. I completely forgot Stroll existed until he took off his helmet. I was like, yeah, Fernando Alonso and his new driver. And I was like, oh no, it's Lance Stroll. Oh yeah, this guy. Usually it's when Latifi was racing, like I would forget he's there. And now I've forgotten that Lance Stroll exists in my life in F1 because he's like no one really interviews him. He's like not really highlighted anywhere. He's just there.
I think it's because he doesn't like to do interviews. Apparently he hates doing any press or media for the team. Like he
And
does,
that's what
like,
he gets, me forgetting about him because he doesn't do any of that stuff. So
exactly.
Yeah. If the animation was an AI, I really liked it. If it was AI, you should use real artists. Fuck you, Aston Martin. So 8 out of 10 for me.
8 out of 10. Love it. Next, I did not see this on the broadcast because when this was happening, I was also like splitting my attention between this and like some work stuff. Mercedes apparently had like some technical glitch with the car on stage. Did you see this?
Was it a technical glitch or was it like the front right when they were doing like their fake pit stop thing?
That's what it was.
Yeah. Just like, I think they just like fucked it up or like didn't do it correctly.
So
whoever the actors or team was on stage.
So Mercedes was already messing up their pit stops and the season hasn't even started.
Tragic. We should somehow make an episode at the end of the season alluding to all the foreshadowing we saw in this F175 event.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like this would be a big one. Be like, oh yeah, we saw that coming.
I thought the Mercedes presentation was a little underwhelming. I'm going to give it a 6.
Every team needs a dream is what they said. Was their tagline.
That's an inspirational poster in the in the break room at like every office.
Like instead of the kitten hanging from the branch and it says hang in there, it's them having a good pit stop and writing every team needs a dream.
Yeah, exactly. It's Toto Wolff hanging from the like paddock club off the side.
Let's see. I would give that. I kind of like their video. It was pretty historic. They had a lot of cool old racetracks on there and things like that, and the cars and stuff like that. I would do an 8 out of 10.
8. Okay. All right. I will say I love Toto Wolff, and so I.
We're going to talk about this in a second.
Okay.
I love. Why do you like Toto Wolff?
He seems to, and maybe it's all performative, he seems to have empathy and a level of kindness to him that I don't see in a lot of people who work in the sport.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so, like, I like Toto Wolff, but we can get into it now. We're still on Mercedes. We just gave them our grades. Let's talk now.
What we'll talk about in a second, obviously, is Christian Horner being booed. And obviously, one, he should be booed. Also, I can't believe your wife's there after the whole situation and what's going on.
Wild.
Like, I understand why we're booing Christian Horner. Do not get me wrong. But it is insane that everyone, another common complaint that I hear is like Christian Horner is part of the system, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, Toto Wolff is in cahoots with the FIA. That man is on their side 100%. And I can't believe all of you are like, oh my God, he loves fans. No, that man is for the money. And I understand I love Susie Wolf. Like, two things could be true at the same time. People contain multitudes. Someone can be a shitty person to you and a nice person to someone else. And like, it's very confusing. Someone can be a horrible person, but donate all their money to charity. It's very, humans are complex and I get that. But it's wild that we've established this narrative for Toto Wolff and Zach Brown. Oh my God, he is worse for all of them. That man is a used car salesman for capitalism. He wants your money, you will know about it, and he will suck up to you. And he's done that with the FIA power-wise, with MBS. They were like joking around in the trophy room, and everyone's like, oh my God, I love Zach Brown. I love Toto Wolff. And I was like, we gotta pick a lane here. I understand we hate Christian Horner. Cool. I get it. Like, I don't think he's a good person, and I just don't, you know, don't like the way he talks about certain things and certain issues and ignores them within his team and himself. And then we have these two other ones that you're just okay with for whatever reasons. Like,
I never said I was like, okay with Zach Brown.
Well, you were okay with Toto Wolff. Sorry, I was also talking about like the general
Okay, so I like Toto Wolff as a personality. I agree with you that Toto Wolff is vertical integration personified. He has way too much power and way too much influence and has his fingers in too many different pies. He should not be a team principal and a team owner and a manager of drivers. That is too many conflicts of interest. I agree with you 100%, but he gets away with it because he's very likable.
Wild. It is insane that everyone, like, I understand we need to poop on people about certain things, and like, we have very valid complaints. I've seen very good ones, right? And everyone's like, oh, I hate the FIA, but I love Toto Wolff. And I was like, Toto Wolff agrees with the FIA. What are you talking about? He's like the person in Formula One management who's like, no, yeah, we should stop cursing. We should not have team radios anymore. Like, what is this?
He said something along the lines that his son repeated stuff that he heard the drivers say. So yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I guess we can like him as a personality. I guess to my point, right, to like argue with myself, which I do way too often, people contain multitudes, and like, you can be like, oh, Toto Wolff is sympathetic, but all at the same time realize that he's also part of the problem that we're having and we dislike about Formula One, and just idolizing and either extreme, or just, I guess, pooping on an either extreme also is just insane to me.
He is also living proof that you can glow up as you age as long as you have a fuck ton of money. Because you look at pictures of a young Toto Wolff and you look at him now and he looks better now. And you're like, why? It's like, oh, because he's a billionaire.
There's a really good like Instagram series. I forget who the creator is, but you probably see a lot of them if you just like look up the hashtag. Am I poor or am I actually ugly? It's just like, oh, you're just, it's usually the answer is you're just poor. Like, because if you were rich, you can get all this like work done if you prefer, or you can get a dietitian, a chef, blah, blah, blah. They're like, you know, you're just poor. That's what it is.
100%. Anything else you want to talk about Mercedes before we move on to Red Bull?
No, let's go to Red Bull, baby.
Then it was Red Bull's turn, and it seemed like both at home and for the people in the O2 arena, Christian Horner was booed almost as much as the FIA was. And I feel like you saw him clock it on stage.
Yeah.
And maybe process it a little bit before powering through the rest of the presentation.
It was awkward. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, okay. Anyway, I was like, oh man, you should have just addressed it. His booze again. I understand. Whatever. by all means. The Max Verstappen boos, I think, I would assume they're different. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, because I understand why we're booing Christian Horner. I understand that people are booing Max just because they dislike him and he's a champion and blah, blah, blah. And like people just love to hate a winner. It's wild that people are defending, or, sorry, how do I say this? People are babying Max, kind of to our point about being soft, like our first episode. People were like, how dare you boo Max? Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, no. Max is like, no, I get this. Max also started this. He's an antagonizer. He talked about how it's not his job to stop Lewis Hamilton from being booed in like 2021 season. Like, this man does not care. Boo him all you want. He's still rich, lives in Monaco, about to have a PK baby. Like, he doesn't, this man does not care. And I understand why we booed him. I don't think we need to defend either of these men on stage nor the FIA from being booed. Good for the audience.
I think it's also like it, that this happens in Formula One when there's someone who wins a bunch. They become a heel because people are tired of seeing the same person win again and again and again. It happened with Sebastian Vettel, like towards the end of his four championship run. He used to be booed all the time. And now he is one of the most beloved people in Formula One, even though he's not actively in it. But you know what I mean? Yeah, I just think it comes with the territory of like dominating like this. But yeah, Red Bull had a very weird onstage presentation where they like started with an intro video and it was a bunch of like quote hip slash cool people who were like messaging each other to meet up and hang out. And I feel like they were all people in their 30s and 40s that were like supposed to be in their teens and 20s. And then they all met on stage as they were dancing behind Max and Liam as the car slowly moved forward. Were they dancers? Were they actors? I don't know. But they are. I do think they're contractually obligated to follow Max and Liam around for the rest of the season.
That'd be sick in the paddock. He's like, yeah, let's go. I like the attempt at the car culture and racing thing. It was cool. They had drift cars. They had, did they have two wheels? In that video, it was a very long video, and I don't think the production team knew what was happening because it felt like they were cutting away, and like I would lose the video and I'd be like, what are we doing? Because I would only see the stage on the YouTube, and then we would go back into the video. I was like, can I just watch this video in its entirety, please? Like, stop cutting away and coming back because I'm missing stuff in the video that's like, giving me context. Like, I completely miss the girl calling her father about, because they like cut away when that happened, and I was like, did you not know this was happening? Like, what are you doing here?
I missed that too.
Realizing what was happened, because she's like, oh, like, look, it's the Red Bull track, blah, blah, blah. I was confused at the premise till I realized what I missed. It was cool that they were combining car culture and car enthusiasts to Red Bull. I think that's an interesting take, considering I think we've talked about this before, where I think that's lost. It's no longer a circle. It's definitely a Venn diagram these days. So that it's for the car person. And Christian Horner kind of said that. But yeah, I think the message was a little bit lost. I wasn't sure of the people who were in the video, if they were, and this is on me, not knowing car culture, but being a race fan of some kind, that... I don't know if the people were Red Bull drivers in drifting or the two wheels, et cetera. So if those
Connor
were their athletes.
Connor Zelich wasn't there, that's for sure.
Oh my God. Yeah, SVG wasn't in the video. I have no idea who these people are anymore then at that point. So yeah, I appreciated it. The mild Max boos, which is why I think it was about him being Max. So, you know, he antagonizes, people don't like him, blah, 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 blah. That's fine. I thought that was fun. And he was just like, every introvert's worst nightmare is being on that stage. And I'm glad they cut – I don't know if they cut them off or like Red Bull's like, we don't want to talk to the two drivers.
Right.
Because they just went straight back to Jack. They didn't even let Liam and Max talk.
There was also a weird moment where like one of the actors or dancers like tapped Max on the shoulder and like motioned him towards the car. And I think that's because Max just kept walking and the livery was supposed to stop at a certain point, and I think he was going past it. Mm. But I could tell when the guy tapped on Max's shoulder and Max turned around, he had like a look on his face being like, why the fuck are you touching me?
Yeah, it was a good attempt at something, like the Red Bull thing. And I don't know if it just like didn't come across or the cutting away or like... Yeah. Christian got thrown off at the booing, so he was like,
"My God, like that's Christian Horner's music!" Bum, 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 bum.
It was just, I do appreciate the attempt at car culture when they will try to drag that through the season, but what do you give it?
I'll give it a 7.
Yeah, I gave it a 7. I wish there was more history. I guess they already did that with their thing last year. Maybe they'll do it at their own car launch, but yeah. A 7 out of 10. I do like the people following them in the paddock for the rest of the year. That's great, James. They should pay you for that.
It'd be expensive, but it'd be worth it to commit to the bit.
Hundo P.
Hundo P.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Next up, we had Ferrari. I didn't have a lot of thoughts on the presentation. I got roasted on social media because I said I like the white stripe in the sense that it makes the HP logo make sense, because the HP logo is such an eyesore on that red livery.
Yeah.
Because if you're not really paying attention, it looks like the Pillsbury logo or something like that. But I feel like the white stripe helps the blue HP logo blend into the rest of the car. But a lot of people hated the white stripe. It's a darker red this year, which I don't love. I love the more sort of like cherry red as opposed to like the darker scarlet. But I like the car. Do you have any thoughts on the presentation?
I like the Ferrari being Ferrari and being one of the few teams that's always been Ferrari and not bought by someone else, renamed, blah, blah, blah. And they get paid to be an F1, blah, 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 blah. Similar to showcasing like Mercedes and Williams, their history of everything. I thought the video was really well done. Yeah. I love the sketching. I love the visuals, whether I hope that's not AI. If it's not AI, I loved it. If it was AI, fuck you, Ferrari. I thought it was great. The tagline, "We belong to racing," I feel like that's really close to something good. Not my favorite. Hustle Harder still just makes me giggle from Sour.
It's like that. It's like that line from Secession. "We here for you."
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, Tom is so funny. Yeah, it was interesting. I love that the drivers got to talk. Oh, we love Lewis Hamilton. Look great in red. I like the darker red.
Yeah.
I was a fan of it. I gave it an 8.5 out of 10. I like the history behind it, and I love how they morphed like the car into like the modern day, the previous cars into the modern day car.
That was cool. The morphing was very cool.
They did a great job.
I also, I feel like Lewis Hamilton's enthusiasm on stage was incredibly genuine too. And I do think he has the ability to like turn it on and perform for the camera, but he really does seem to be excited to be at Ferrari and be there and like tackle this new challenge, which was cool. I give it an 8.
He's as invigorated. He's thrilled. He's ready to go. Charles Leclerc was ready to go. I love Fred Vasseur. I liked that whole entire presentation, highlighting the history, talking about the now, the only 6 minutes that they had. It was great.
I joked that if this event is anything like Groundhog Day, Fred Vasseur will pop out of a hole. And if he sees a shadow, it's another year of misery for Ferrari fans.
You should do that.
Also, I know you don't like people making comments about Charles Leclerc's looks, but he seemed even more handsome at this event.
Sorry. I mean, you obviously can't, like, I can't stop you. It was more so like we're only focusing on that about him as opposed to like his racecraft. Eventually, they talked about his like race wins, which I was like, oh, okay. But I was like, don't get me wrong. Like, I've met him in person and he is chiseled from angels. He's a very like, he's a great looking person. I don't know how to describe it. You ever just see someone, you're like, wow, that's a great looking person. Like, they're not human. That is him in person. He's one so nice. And again, he just looks great.
Sure. Yeah. But and what do you think about the white stripe on the livery?
If it's just the white stripe, I would have liked it. I understand they had to like bump up the HP logo. We just can't with the HP logo. I just don't know why HP doesn't just let us have their logo in white or like any other color.
Yeah. Or black.
I want to look up the HP branding guidelines and standards. Like, you're telling me there's no way there's another color of HP? Like, I think there's a white HP logo. And you're telling me we can't have it? This is just frustrating because on the suits, it's gross. It's just
I agree. Most brands have like a suite of colors that can be used to represent that brand. So like, why can't we use any other color but that blue?
HP branding guidelines. We're doing it live, people. Brand Central. Thank you, HP. Like, letterhead, okay, come on, layout, all colors. I see if there's a white logo in here, I'm fucking emailing them. Log into your HP account. Okay, I'll deal with that. Fuck you. But there's a white logo on their website. Yeah, they're making me log in. But there's a white HP one as well on top of their website. When you scroll through, it turns in. When you go to a white background, it's blue. When you're on the photo, it's white.
Can we please not have that? I feel like Ferrari has the pull to demand that brands adhere to their brand guidelines as opposed to the brand's brand guidelines. Like, I feel like Ferrari has enough influence and power, even though they're getting a lot of money from these brands. If they were to dictate, you can have your logo on our car, but it can only be in white, red, or black, I feel like most brands would still be like, okay, sounds good.
The HP logo is always set in HP blue with this core palette, except when the background color obscures legibility. In cases of low contrast, use white.
There you go. That's when we can use
white. Oh, they also have it here. There is a like a maroon red background with a white HP. Sorry, I'm like in on this. Like they have it in their own brandcentral.com. Like yeah. Someone write them a very strongly worded polite email. Don't be crazy.
and we will. Like the Shell logo kind of works. The yellow kind of works with the red and the white and the black. But like the blue is just throws everything off. Like what are we teaching our preschoolers about primary colors today? Or are we racing? What are we doing?
It's just unfortunate, especially on the race suit, which is, it sucks because they look like Teletubbies, like right in the middle of like, woohoo.
Ferrari presentation. What did we give it? I gave it an 8, I think. What did you give it?
8.5.
8.5. Great. Next up, we had our constructor champions of 2024, McLaren. I personally liked them showing the different generations of liveries on stage. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a nice touch. I thought having the constructor's trophy on stage was a nice flex. Yeah, I thought it was pretty solid. I thought it was good. I feel like they didn't have to do much because like Ferrari, they're probably second to Ferrari in a team that has like the most history of like tradition and winning and culture. Like they are a staple in Formula One. Overall, I'd probably give their presentation like a 7.5.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. I honestly have only one note from McLaren. I guess either I was like so tired of the past 6 or like 2 hours of like whatever the hell we just watched. Their tagline is never stop racing, which I like. That's actually a really good tagline. The hustle harder. It's
kind of like the pop star never stop, never stopping.
What?
You never seen Pop Star with the Lonely Island guys?
No.
Oh, so you got to go see Popstar. It's so funny. Andy Samberg, Lonely Island. It's like a parody of like the pop music business. But the movie is titled Popstar, subtitled Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Oh, Never Stop, Never Stopping. Got it. Yeah, I'm a fan of Never Stop Racing. Like, I get it. Never Stop Racing. I appreciate that. I like it. I don't know. It worked on me. And you know what? That means it should work on everyone. No, I'm just kidding.
You have one bone to pick with this presentation, though.
I mean, I have two bones. I don't know what your bone you think I have to pick, but one is the camera guy who like wouldn't square up Zach Brown in the frame. He was like blocked by the trophy for like the first 45 seconds of him talking, and I thought this was really funny. And, like, I don't understand why the camera guy just couldn't move around. Like, someone kept getting blocked by the trophy, and I was like, what are we doing here? Are you trying to just frame the trophy and like fuck whoever else is talking?
Yeah.
Maybe, what's my other bone to pick? Was it Martin Brundle? Is that who you think I hate?
No, it's that you wrote that Zach Brown had to be on stage.
Oh my God. Yeah. Of course he had to be on stage. I don't know. It was just like Zach Brown doing Zach Brown's things. And I guess some other people had their CEO. Who was that? It was
Visa Cash App Racing Bulls had Peter Baer on there with Lawrence Mikus. And then, like, I think that was it. All the other teams, it was just the team principal with the drivers.
Of course, Zach Brown had to be on stage. Ugh, but it's fine. It's Zach Brown doing Zach Brown things. That just made sense. I get it.
Yeah. But I gave McLaren a 7. What'd you give him?
No, I'm good with that. 7, 7.5. I agree with that assessment.
Very common theme over this entire presentation, though, was that a lot of the cars looked exactly like the livery from last year.
And yeah, I think Jack Whitehall knew that, and that's why he made that joke. It was just playing into that this is what we're really not – like this is what we're not here for this really. And a lot of people were in my Twitch chat were like, we'll see if any of these liveries actually make it to the grid for the ones that were different. I was like, oh, interesting. You think we just made up things for this show and then we're not going to keep it? So I don't know. It seemed like everyone – obviously it got a lot of social media views. It got a lot of general views. I think F1 was happy with it. Hopefully the drivers were like fine with it. What else are they doing besides testing supposedly, or doing stuff back in the factory? So it was fine. It was some hype, entertaining. They had every single UK F1 influencer known to man there.
Yeah. So there were a lot of people in attendance. That's why you couldn't get any tickets, because it all went, it seemed to be that it all went to like corporate partners.
I'm like fine for having watched it at home. I'm not saying that if I was invited, like flight, hotel, ticket, I wouldn't have gone. But I think I saw, like, enjoyed it just a little bit more being at home and commenting and like having fun with like friends and watching it along like a
I was invited, but I don't know I don't know if my hotel would have been taken care of, but I was offered a ticket, but I was like, I don't think I can get PTO off from work to go to this.
Like, did they tell you like pretty close to the launch, or did they tell you like a month ago?
A couple weeks ago, yeah. So
that's nice.
It was a last minute thing.
A lot of people, I think it was Tom from Alpine. He was flying just to go to like the general, there was other stuff happening around the event and not just there. And then he got tickets. Like he mentioned that he was going, and then someone messaged him that they had tickets to give him. And I was like, and then I saw another tweet that said, I can't believe people paid for this. And I was like, I don't know anyone who paid for this. All the people that I know or follow social media wise, like creator influencer wise, they all got their tickets gifted.
I know one person who bought a ticket.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know, do you know how much it costs, or like a range that if you're more comfortable with
that? Oh, I don't know how much it costs. Okay. Yeah. But I know they logged on the day and they were only able to get one ticket. They could not get two.
Oh, interesting.
But I think like the hunch I have is that like 90% of the tickets were allocated to brands and partners.
That's what I heard too.
And a very small portion was allocated to like a general public sale.
And that's why I was confused about the musical acts. Like if it was for corporate sponsors, I'm surprised we didn't go for something more, I don't know, like MGK with his little razor-shaped guitar. I mean, did HP people enjoy that?
He is I know he's attended a bunch of races before. So I think a lot of this had to do with people who already had like establishing relationships with Formula One. Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember that very awkward exchange he had with Martin Brundle on the gridwalk?
I do.
And I think he like tried to get him to like play the air guitar with him.
Yes.
And Martin Brundle was like, fuck you.
Like, what are we doing here? Please, I'm going to move on now. Bye. Yeah. Some people said that it should have been like Jeremy Clarkson instead of Jack Whitehall, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think it necessarily had to be, again, the car culture, car purist kind of mentality of like only car people are allowed to talk about cars and like entertain about cars, blah, blah, blah. I think it was fine. I think we're all okay.
I think I know why they didn't have someone like Jeremy Clarkson. And this is me being ageist here, and I know I'm 40 years old, but I think Jeremy Clarkson is too old in Formula One's eyes to host something like this, because they want a younger audience to tune in. Mm-hmm. And while he is beloved by a lot of people, and then Jeremy Clarkson also has things that he said that I think are abhorrent and offensive. And some people, you know, don't think he's a good person that deserves a platform. I don't think that's why someone like him didn't host. I think it's because they wanted a younger person that would draw a younger crowd.
I also think he just would have called out the FIA straight up and been like, he sort of would have cursed every other word. Jeremy Clarkson. He definitely would have been like rubbing people the wrong way.
Yeah, he's probably a guy that you really can't filter and muzzle.
He's definitely for car people, to your point. Like, I don't know too many people who aren't into cars who've watched Top Gear, or people who aren't in the racing that watched the original Top Gear. Oh, the Top Gear American joke with the joke. Oh, wait, Joey, did he do Top Gear America and then try to do UK? Any hoodles. Yeah, the Matthew LeBlanc, who was the host of Top Gear for a little bit, and then like didn't do well. Not
Matt LeBlanc of Joey of Friends fame.
No, that's exactly who it was. He tried to host. He's a car guy, so he got to host.
Joey Tribbiani is a car guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
So he got to host a little bit of the Top Gear, and it didn't go so well. I think the American Top Gear, and I like the joke towards that. Like, that was for the car people. Like, I get that. Yeah. But yeah, I see what they were doing with Jack Whitehall. I honestly would have liked the V-Carb comedian Mark. It was ironic because I don't know his name. So people were like, do you really want him? I was like, yeah, I thought he was fun.
He has a big following. I looked him up on Instagram. He has like 1.4 million followers on Instagram. But I think like having Jack Whitehall host, and not having someone that's sort of like big in the car world, it's the same reason why they invite big celebrities and influencers to F1 events and not people who are car creators or F1 creators. It's because all of those people's audience are already tuned in. They're already fans. What Formula One is trying to do is convert new fans. So they're casting a wide net and giving a platform to people who have like a big audience that might not tune into the product. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Like, it got people excited for the season. I know it did for me with, again, I mean, I'm just excited for Lewis Hamilton and Ferrari to see what's going to happen there and against Charles Leclerc and blah, 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 and what McLaren's going to do and if they're going to yap on the radio some more. So, yeah, it did make me excited for the season. It was cool to get everyone together. I wish they talked to the drivers a little bit more because they only had X amount of time, and a lot of them, I think, spent it on whether the team principals or the CEOs were yapping or their videos. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. For sure. I also wish, like at award shows, there had been a broadcast showing us the red carpet. Ooh, like, I wish there had been a red carpet telecast.
Even the NASCAR Hall of Fame does that for their Hall of Fame induction. They have a red carpet. They'll stream.
Because I know there was a red carpet because I saw clips of it online and, you know, other different social media like channels were clipping out interviews and stuff. I wish there had been like an F1 broadcast of the red carpet. I think that would have been fun. And we could have captured some really cool moments that way. But here we are. Could have had the Glambot by Cole Walliser, who I don't know if you know this, is a huge F1 fan.
Was he not there? Why did I see a Glambot somewhere recently?
Glambot was at the SNL 50th anniversary.
That's what, because I saw the Larry David one. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Glambot,
But Cole Walliser is a huge F1 fan. Yes, and has made it very clear on all his social media channels that he desperately wants to collaborate with Formula One in some way. This would have been a perfect opportunity.
Agreed. Hire us next time, F1. We're here.
Cool. Well, I think that about wraps it up. We will be back later this week with some updates of news headlines happening both in the world of Formula One and other series in motorsport. So please do tune into that. Make sure to follow me on my personal channels at This James Coker on TikTok and Instagram, at Temple of Vroom on YouTube. Ash, if people want to follow you on social media, where can they find you?
Everywhere you get social media, Ash Vandal.
Amazing. Thank you so much for listening to the WTF1 podcast. We will be back later next week. Bye. Later this week. Gosh dang. We will be back later this week.
Bye.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.